everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
With a couple of sticks, coffee cans, and a dream, my next guest would soon realize that dreams really do come true. But how? How does a child abandoned by his father at 6 months of age, raised by a mother in abject poverty, and with six other siblings barely surviving, quote, make it anywhere, sleeping in a dilapidated trailer on a good night, and an equally dilapidated car when there was no room in the trailer, or the 23 moves when there was an apartment because of too many kids. Hence, no roots, no hope, no money, and against all odds, a dream fulfilled. Add humiliation and shame. My next guest would do whatever it took to, quote, rise above the depths of his despair, including a job as a custodian in the high school he attended, while his classmates watched and jeered in disdain. Rejected, humiliated, unloved, unwanted, but ladies and gentlemen, not forgotten by the God who created him, nor the incredible gift God gave him, the future he now has because Zorro chose to soar and not be defeated by life's circumstances. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome to Testimony, world-renowned drummer, best-selling author, motivational speaker, ordained minister and founder of Zorro International Ministries, and so much more, his latest must-read, Soar, You Were Meant to Live for So Much More. I give you, drumroll, Zorro. Zorro, welcome to Testimony.
Well, what an awesome, that may be the best introduction. No, I'm going to say that is the most compelling introduction anyone has ever given me before a radio interview. So thank you for the depth of the research that you did to put that together. You really encapsulated my story so well. So thank you. That was amazing.
Well, you are worthy of that and so much more. First of all, I do want to acknowledge our mutual good friend, Holly McClure, for introducing us at this year's NRB in Orlando. Her own story is amassed with interviews from some of today's top celebrities, of which you are one and of which you have been a part in your own right. But before we get to all of this, Zorro, in part one of our two-part conversation, would you take our listeners back to that day, your early days, how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and then let's segue into what you are doing to now, which is powerful, impacting, life-changing. Zorro, please tell us your story.
Well, it all goes back to my mother. Her name was Maria, and like you said, she had this incredible job of raising seven children in abject poverty without a father. But what she had was tremendous faith, and I saw that faith exemplified daily in our life, and she loved Jesus. And she was from Mexico City. She was an immigrant, but she had grown up speaking English all of her life. I was born here in the United States. The older four children were born in Mexico. So she grew up Catholic, but she demanded that we go to church. And she had just a real simple childlike faith. I wouldn't call her a Bible scholar, but every single day she prayed. And she prayed for us and told us about Christ. And I think by around five or six, I kind of already felt the presence of God. I don't know how, maybe even before she started telling me about it, but I just felt it. And when I was about 10 years old, we moved from South Central Los Angeles, which was known as Compton, and then eventually we moved to Oregon, the hills of Grants Pass, Oregon, a mountain town. And when we arrived in Oregon, we started going to Catholic churches. And when we moved out in the country, we began to go to a Baptist church, and the Baptist summer church camp that they sent me on was where I officially sort of received Christ as my Savior, where you walk up to the altar and make the commitment, although I'd already felt faith long before then. And so I guess you can say that the Lord just really had his hand on me. I was always a loquacious boy, always anxious to talk, lots of things to say, but I was a very tender-hearted boy. And when I felt God call me up to the altar, you know, I went up there weeping, and then my mother would sit me in front of the television every time Billy Graham would come on. We would be, you know, all around the television watching him, and I would get saved again and again and again, make sure, I always wanted to make sure I was saved.
Right.
So I'd walk up to the TV and lift my hands up. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that I was with him, you know, and so that's kind of how it all began, and I've been on an incredible journey. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And it's been, you know, a struggle like anybody else's life, but he has pulled me out of the miry clay and made a life out of it.
So talk to our listeners about those two sticks and those Folgers coffee cans. When did you know you wanted to play the drums as a profession?
I think I knew that I was attracted to rhythm very early on, living in the streets, and growing up in the 60s, late 60s, in South Central L.A., and what was big on the radio those days was a lot of soul music, and in those days it was like Motown was huge, and Motown was like, you know, Marvin Gaye and the Four Tops, the Supremes, the Temptations, Diana Ross, you know, and I grew up with intoxicating doses of soul music just in my environment, in my area, in the radio. So, but that was very rhythmic music, and I grew up around a lot of gospel, and my mother loved, like, Frank Sinatra and big band and Mexican mariachi music. But I grew up around a lot of music, but I was probably by 7 or 8, I was already trying to make little drum sets out of the garbage that was, you know, in the neighborhood. So I would use, like, almond roca cans, candy out of it, empty canisters, oatmeal boxes, Tupperware. And I just kind of put a little makeshift drum set together on the street and play it with my hands. And just kind of, I didn't have any drums. I didn't have any drumsticks. I didn't have any equipment. And so that's kind of how it all began. And I would put, you know, the transistor radio on and hear all the funky music. And then I'd jam on the streets. Then the next level of that was I was in fourth grade. And I remember there was a talent show that was coming up and I wanted to be in it. I was a little bit of an audacious kid because to be in a talent show playing an instrument when you don't have an instrument is audacious to begin with. They had this little band, and the guy played guitar and played the bass, and somebody sang. And I said, well, I can play the drums. I want to be in this band. And they said, do you have any drums? I said, no, but I've got this big Maytag refrigerator box, this empty box, and I'm going to make that a drum set. And so I literally played the talent show with a Maytag refrigerator box. I sat behind it in one of those school chairs, and I just banged on it with my hands. I wish I had the video footage of that. I mean, I wish somebody had filmed that. I would love to see just how crazy I was to think that I could do this. But that's how I started. So it's like one of those things where, you know, where God just told Moses, you know, what's in your hand? You know, use whatever you have. That's all I have.
Right.
Was a box. And I started with that. And shortly after that, then my mother bought me. She saw this drumming interest, and then she bought me from the Sears catalog a Mickey Mouse drum set for $9.99. And it was my first sort of, but it was a toy. It was not really a real drum set. It was like a kid thing, you know, a toy with paper heads. And it came with a little set of, you know, babyish kind of sticks. But it was really cheesy. I mean, I destroyed it in one afternoon, Christmas afternoon. But it still got me closer to, like, drums. And then I wouldn't really get a real set until about another 6 years later. But that's kind of how it all started. And I would daydream a lot, you know, as a boy. I would daydream of being a drummer. You know, I could fantasize and imagine myself on these big stages. Of course, it was crazy because there was nothing to justify it. I didn't even have any drums, took lessons, or had a teacher. But God made me kind of a dreamer. He always made me like a Daniel. And many things in my childhood that I dreamt of, or that I wrote out in my diary, became a self-fulfilled prophecy. Many of those things end up happening. So I don't know what you call that. It's a combination of him instilling a dreamer in me and then me cooperating by believing it was possible.
Exactly. Well, clearly the gift of God was in you at a very early age, and you recognized it. You were determined. You didn't give up. You had that love. And that love comes from God. I love that scripture, Zorro, that says every good gift and every good thing comes from God. And clearly, God's hand was on you at a very early age. So how hard or easy was it, in a remaining time for this first segment of your testimony, was it for you to not only break into the profession, but play with now some of the greatest R&B musicians in the world and traveling all over the world?
I would say that it was, extremely difficult. But, like I said, I was a dreamer. I just believed everything was possible. There's a Mark Twain quote that sort of sums me up very well. And it's, all that's needed is ignorance and confidence. And with that, success is assured. And I love that quote because I was so ignorant that I believed it was possible. But I was also just confident enough to go for it. I was too ignorant to know how impossible it really was. But I was never an arrogant kid. Still not arrogant. I was confident. One of the things when you grow up without a father, Larry King and Anderson Cooper were once doing an interview together, and I had not known this about them, but they had both lost their fathers early on for different circumstances. Hmm. They grew up sort of fatherless. And they said a quote that I'd never heard before. They said, "The fatherless child thinks that all things are possible and that nowhere is safe." And as soon as I heard that quote, I was like, that's totally me. I get it. It's totally me. I thought because I didn't have a father, there was no ceiling. So everything was possible. I had to make up my own vision, my own dreams. There was nothing to look at to say how low or high you could go. And then also because you don't have a father, and the father represents a protector, you never feel safe because no one's ever protecting you and no one's ever protecting your mother, was supposed to be your father. So I never felt safe anywhere, and I was always suspect of people from that not having a protector. But I also, on the plus side, I also believed everything was possible, and I had very childlike faith. So I just went for it. And, of course, God did his part. He had already equipped me with the gift and the talent. The one thing I've learned is you cannot give yourself a talent for something. You can only recognize it and develop it, but he had, I can't make myself rhythmic, that came from him, but I can partner with him, and I was a very diligent, hard-working kid. I was relentless and just practiced every spare second of the day, and I was the kind of kid that would just get in, whatever I got into, it was going to be 250%, I was all or nothing, and so I was in.
Amen and amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to world-renowned drummer, motivational speaker, and best-selling author and founder of Zorro International Ministries, his latest great read, Soar. You were meant to live for so much more. You can learn more about Zorro's work, ministry, and mission by visiting zorroministries.org and get his book, Get Inspired, and get the hope you need to achieve your God-given dreams. Zorro, it's been an absolute joy having you share just a little of your story. So powerful, impactful, and encouraging. We look forward to hearing much, much more next week. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Jensine. It was an honor to share a slice of my life with your listeners. I hope they get inspired and go out and do what God called them to.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.
Last week, you heard the heart-wrenching story of one man's fight to escape the poverty, shame, and the hopelessness that surrounded his early growing up years and could easily have ended any dream or aspiration for more, but God. My next guest, as you will soon hear, would soon become a master musician, best-selling author, world-renowned drummer, mentor, life coach, ordained minister, and champion to the less fortunate, as well as dubbed, quote, the minister of groove for his brilliant execution of the gift God gave him. And it's that gift that has brought him to the stages of the world, the hearts of those seeking, and in the ears of those listening for answers to true success, God's way, and how to achieve it. Ladies and gentlemen, would you welcome back to Testimony a real treasure and honor, founder of Zorro International Ministries, on his latest must-read, Soar. You were meant to live for so much more. Please welcome Zorro. Zorro, welcome back to Testimony.
Glad to be back with you, Jensine. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to be a guest on your show. And you, again, are one of the best speakers, announcers, and researchers. Your introductions are incredible. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, you're easy to introduce. You have accomplished so much. Now, question. I didn't ask you this during our first segment, but I'm asking you now, where did the name Zorro come from? And what in reality is your birth given name, or is Zorro that name?
Well, actually, it came from Mexico. It came from Mexico City. My mother, when I was young, I used to wear hats a lot. I always loved hats. She raised me on old movies from like the 30s and 40s. And in those days, part of the culture, people wore hats a lot in America, if you look at the old days. And so I always loved hats because I loved movies, and hats gave me different personalities and characters. There was always a little theater inside of me, a little dramatic actor. She took me to the bullfights in Mexico City once, and I came back with a Spanish matador hat, a Zorro-ish type hat. I bought two of them, cardboard. I think I might have paid a few pesos for each of them. And then I just started wearing them when I came back to L.A. And she just said, she's the one who kind of renamed me that. And she goes, but you're like the real Zorro. Because the real character of Zorro was somebody who fought for the commoner. He fought for the underdog. He fought for the people, the rights of the people. And I always had that heart since I was a boy. So I just received it like a Saul Paul thing. I just realized that God just wanted to give me a name that people would remember. And in show business, if you get a phone call from Zorro, you're not going to go a year later like, which Zorro? You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, it was a God thing. And I received it and I walked into it. And it's what God had for me.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Now, your book, Soar, is packed with wisdom, in my view, insights, personal stories of success from those who have achieved it, and in a great way. What one story, other than your own, comes to mind above all, and why?
There's so many stories in the book. In fact, that's what I love about it. I love sharing little snippets of many different people's lives, and there's so many powerful stories. But one that comes to mind is a lot of people discount themselves, or they count themselves out of the race of life because they feel underqualified or disqualified or uneducated or not good enough. And that's the way, you know, the majority of people feel. But there's stories in there of people that felt that way and yet did something amazing for God. And one of the stories in there is about a man named Brother Lawrence, who was an unlearned man, but he wanted to be in the clergy. He wanted to be in the priesthood. He wasn't educated enough, so the only job he could get was to be a cook, like a chef for all these priest monks, you know, in France. And but he had this deep, deep, intimate relationship with God. It was very powerful, and he carried a lot of wisdom because he walked with God constantly. And so he didn't even write these writings. These writings were written about him after he had passed, but they went on to become one of the most publicized books in literature, which was called Practicing the Presence of God. All the monks and the priests would come to him with their problems and their secrets, and they came to him because he was the one who really had the connection to God. And so he has influenced, inspired Christians for closer to 400 years, and yet he was nobody in the eyes of the world. He wasn't famous. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a bishop. He was a chef, you know, in a monastery in France. But his walk with God was so powerful that after he died, they wrote these stories about his life and they published his writings. And I thought, you know what? Anybody could be used by God, and anybody could do something extraordinary and miraculous, whether you're qualified or unqualified, educated, uneducated. All it requires is your willingness. So I thought that was a super powerful story. It hit me so hard, and I just thought, man, no one has an excuse for why they can't be used by God to make a mark on people, to inspire, to encourage, because our success, or whatever you want to call it, is really meant to only inspire other people. It's never meant to be just something for ourselves. If God allows us to be successful at something, then I see it as just a platform of which to inspire people. But what we call success and what the world calls success are two different things. God looks at success as anybody who's faithfully using what he gave them to serve him and other people. And according to God, you are a success because you would be a rarity. You would be a minority if you're one of those people who allowed him to use what he gave you to serve him and others. That is where the joy of living comes from. It comes from serving people. So that's nothing to do with monetary success or fame or any of that. It has to do with I'm being utilized, I'm being used, and I'm here making a difference. And we all really long for that because God wired that in our DNA.
That is beautifully communicated, which leads me to my next question. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Zorro, author of Soar and world-renowned drummer, founder of Zorro International Ministries. You mention in your book, Zorro, 9 principles for achieving one's dream. Would you share with our listeners just a few of those principles and what you deem most critical out of the 9?
Well, there's 9, and those are the ones that the Lord showed me as sort of the key vital things. And so one of the principles is life principle number 7. Every life principle is a single word. So number 7 is bend, which means remain pliable. I've had many great disappointments in my life, and every single thing that I have tried to achieve in my life that eventually succeeded was first met with extreme opposition. For me, nothing ever came like the first 2 or 3 times around. It was always after just persistently and patiently pursuing something or refining the idea or the dream or the vision of the book. So I've had to learn to bend. And bending, I think, is one of the most important things because people give up on what God called them to do when they get disappointed, when they didn't get the job or the call or the whatever it is they're seeking. You know, great disappointment comes when it doesn't happen. So many people and most people give up as opposed to going, maybe God's going to accomplish this in a different way than you first thought. And for me, it's always been that way. So bending is one of those principles, and I give an analogy in the book of 2 trees. You know, there's an oak tree, and oak is a very dense tree, a very dense wood. And when the storms of life come and hit an oak tree, you know, at 100 miles an hour, it cracks because it refuses to move, it refuses to bend. But God wants us to be like a palm tree because a palm tree is supple and soft and pliable and bends. So when the storms of life come, you watch the news and you see, you know, hurricanes and you see palms blowing back and forth to and fro on the wind, but they're not cracking like an oak tree would. And so that's how we have to be. We have to be pliable. We have to be malleable in God's hands because the dream can still come to pass, but not if we give up on the way that he was going to do it. The other principle that is very important to me is life principle number 6, which I just call believe, and that is to live by faith. Anything that I've accomplished in my life was really the result of one thing, believing that it was possible. But not if you don't believe it.
Quick question, yeah, sure. In our remaining time. Zorro, how important is knowing one's identity in Christ for healthy self-esteem, confidence, and boldness in pursuing one's God-given dreams as you have?
It's everything. To know who you are. What has kept me going the most throughout my life is to know who God made me to be and the power that resides in me through him living in me and that relationship. That has been the sole reason I was able to not give up, why it was my sole motivation for working hard, because the Bible says that we are co-laborers with Christ. In other words, God's already done his part, He's given us the ability to succeed at something in a given area, but we have to do our part, which is to labor, and we labor in faith. And the only way I can do that well, to the best of my ability, is to know who I am in Christ. I'm an heir to the throne of the kingdom of God through Christ. There are great riches. There are treasures. I have favor. I have wisdom. I have perseverance. And I have a God who understands every struggle that I've had because he's already gone through them. It means most of my life to understand how much he loves me and how much he wants and he's rooting for me. And the earlier we can get that picture in our head, the earlier we can accomplish these things. But the most important part about accomplishing any of these things is the ninth life principle, which is why we're here. We are here to impact people. Our gifts and our callings and our experiences and our platform and our success is just the means of which to accomplish that in our own individual unique way. But that's the whole reason. We are here to be the light, to make a difference. So that's the burning thing that's inside of me. I know who I am in Christ. I know that he put unlimited potential in me. In other words, I could be as good at something as I want to be in the area of my gifting. Found out what I was good at and decided I'm going to pour my life and soul into that work and bring back more to him than he gave to me, like the parable of the talents. And that's what we're here for.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to world-renowned drummer, a motivational speaker, and best-selling author and founder of Zorro International Ministries, his latest great read, Soar. You were meant to live for so much more. You can learn more about Zorro's work, ministry, and mission by visiting zorroministries.org and get his book, Get Inspired, and get the hope you need today to fulfill your God-given purpose. Zorro, thank you for sharing your heart, your gifts, your talents, but most of all, your testimony, which exemplifies a life determined to fulfill God's plan, God's will, and in His way, no matter the adversity you chose in the midst of it all, to soar. As your book so aptly declares, the scriptures state that, quote, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before kings. If ever there was a case that this is true, yours is. And not just on the drums, but in life and in the Lord, we thank you and God bless you.
Thank you so much, Jen. See, that may be the nicest thing anyone's ever said about me. It really made my day. I came to be a blessing to you and your listeners, but it was I who walked away being blessed.
Testimony is a global broadcast made possible by the generous contributions of our valued partners at Jensine Bard Ministries and you, our listening audience. Together, we are reaching souls for Christ, one testimony at a time. If you would like information on how you can support this broadcast with your tax-deductible gift, please visit us at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JensineBard.com. And join the conversation at our Facebook page, Testimony with Jensine Bard. Thank you for listening, and please join us again for Testimony.